I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, as we celebrated the reign of Christ, I talked about the ancient church's understanding of the ages of the world, where you had the age before Israel, the age of Israel, and then after Jesus was resurrected, you have the age of the church, the present age, and then there will be the age to come when Jesus comes again. And this present age, which concerns us because we live in it, there is both a now and a not yet property to the end times. That since Jesus was raised, we are at some level in those end times, and yet the fullness of the end times stays ahead of us. And so both things are true. We both wait for Jesus to come again, and we celebrate that Jesus has already come. Now, as we move through the cycle of the church year, we go through these cycles of the ages of the world, because all these ages are present to us in a spiritual way at the same time. Every day there is some quality that is reminiscent of Advent or Christmas or Lent or Easter or ordinary time, the season of creation and so on. That we move through the church year and we refocus on these different elements of the ages precisely because we live in the in-between time where these things are both realized and not at the same time. So as we move into Advent this morning, my reflection is, you know, what are those elements in my spiritual journey that are Adventish, so that these readings can speak to me in my condition as I find it today in this in-between state. So, I'm not going to preach you a sermon about keep awake. We're going to sing about it. You've heard it. Those of you who have done Advent before, you will know that's a theme of today. I'm going to take that for granted. The liturgy will do that preaching for me. The bit that I want to talk about is Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Now, this is not, it's not devoid of intellectual content, but it's not primarily an intellectual text. It is a text of the heart. It is a text of the human experience. And a little background, there are three Isaiahs. They're all in one book. There's 1st Isaiah, 2nd Isaiah, 3rd Isaiah. And 3rd Isaiah starts somewhere after chapter 55. And the experience, the historical spirit experience out of which the poems and stories of 3rd Isaiah come are the experience of the Israelites after having been restored to Israel after their Babylonian captivity. And it wasn't just a cakewalk once they got back home. So isn't this great? The day of the Lord has come. You hear that in 2nd Isaiah. We're going to get all those texts at Christmas about Cyrus, who's the agent of God and restoring Israel to the Holy Land. We've been in captivity these 70 years. Everything is going to be great once we get back to Israel. And they get back to Israel, and it is somewhat less than great. And so out of that comes this sense of, yes, we've had the day of the Lord. We've gotten back to Israel, and yet we're still in this in-between time. And the world is full of suffering and misery and injustice and oppression. And so I resonate with that first reading. I made the mistake of reading the news this morning before coming to church. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down and shake the foundations of the earth with your mighty power as you did long ago. That's where Isaiah is coming from. We all were raised on the stories of you coming in the pillar of fire and cloud and sending plagues and leading your people to the Holy Land and fighting with them against the enemies as they established us in the land. And you've hidden your face from us now. And this is a present spiritual condition that with which I can resonate. That in my life, there was a time in my young life when God rent the heavens and came down. I was walking hand in hand with the Lord. I prayed to God. My prayers were answered. I had messages from God regularly. I talked to God. God talked back. It was amazing and fabulous. And then I grew up. And God says, it's time for you to grow up now. So off you go. I'm not gone. I'm just not giving you all the stuff. Just not going to give you all that. I'm not gone. And so like the Israelites, I say there was a time in my history when you rent the heavens and came down. And since then you've hid your face. And what did I do? Well, my iniquities. Here we are. Without your help, without your constant babysitting, my iniquities have blown me around like a leaf in the wind. And so here I am. It's just Chris. And I'm not all that great. And so why don't you come back and help me and help my life and help the people I love and help the world that breaks my heart every day? And so I'm left in this in-between place where I look at Israel and Palestine and I go, oh, those horrible people, how can they do such horrible things? And then when I'm honest, I look in my own heart and say, am I so different? If my experience were that of a Palestinian or an Israeli who lost someone in a beheading, would I not be full of anger and vengeance myself? I am no different than them. I can't say that I am better. I just can say I'd never had that experience. I don't know. I'd like to hope that I wouldn't become a person of hate, but I can't guarantee it. And so here I am in my iniquities, being blown around like a leaf, and I don't know how good I really am if God is not there to help me. This is the emotional place of Advent. That where are you, God? Right? And we put it in the historical story and we say the Israelites have been under oppression from the Greeks and the Persians and the Romans, and we thought we had our Holy Land back, and I guess we haven't for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so where are you? We know you're with us. We know you haven't gone anywhere, but we'd like a little bit of evidence that would be very helpful right about now. The message of Advent is don't despair. The message is one of hope. The day of the Lord is coming. You don't know when, but you can't give up hope, because that way lies madness. The other thing about hope and that place of Advent, of waiting for the coming of the Lord and being aware of your own shortcomings as well as the shortcomings of those around you and the world at large. When I was a young man, full of energy and vim and supreme self-confidence that I could handle whatever life threw at me, because I had barely experienced any of it by then, I thought humility was the hardest virtue. And I was trying so hard to be humble, like the song goes, right? Now that I'm 58, it's not hard to be humble. I know all too well why there, as of my friend and one-time mentor, Peter Davison, once told me, some of us have a lot to be humble about. So I get that now. That didn't make sense then. Now that I'm aware of my own inadequacy and my own powerlessness, not only in the face of great evil on earth, but in the face of my own heart and the waywardness of myself, I'm aware of my powerlessness. Humility is not the hard one. Patience is the hard one. And so I can be impatient in both ways. I can be impatient with myself and force myself to do better. Just grit my teeth and say, I'm just going to do it. But also impatient with God. God, this is supposed to be your business. You know, where are you? And the message of Advent for me is not to lose sight of that patience, because God is at our doorstep even now. And that's the message that Advent hits home again and again and again. And, you know, when you're just looking for the themes, you go, yeah, we heard that theme. I know it's Advent. Christ is at your doorstep, yada, yada, yada. But when you're in that emotional place, that's what you need to hear again and again and again, because you're not sure you believe it. And so what I need is the scriptures to say that even though your experience is that God has hidden God's face and you are blowing like a leaf in the wind, God is at your doorstep. God will come. There will be a day of the Lord, and it is near to you. It is very near to you. And so you keep awake and you work on that hardest of Christian virtues, which is patience, which was born in the early Christian experience of having no power, being subject to the whims of empires and calamities and suffering and pain. That's the experience out of which Christianity was born. That's our great gift to the world, which is full of impatience and not being prepared to wait for the Lord to act, because at some level we don't believe the Lord will. It's at some level we think it's all up to us. And the great message of Advent, the comfort of Advent, is that it is not all up to us. We're just not that good, and I wouldn't trust myself with the reins either, really, because I know myself too well now. And I think most of us here share that opinion, not just of me, hopefully. But you know what I'm doing here. We collectively are not that good either. And we are some of the finest people I know at the same time. So the word of comfort is, it's not all up to us. Those of us who are all too aware of our own shortcomings can just remind ourselves over and over and over again that God is engaged. God is coming, and coming in a way that we cannot predict or expect, and at a time that we cannot predict or expect. And I'm just going to leave with the last word of comfort that I took from today's readings, which is that second reading where Paul is talking to, I think it's the Thessalonians. Sorry, my chapter and verse have flown out of my head right now. So is it Thessalonians? It's Corinthians. Okay, thank you. It reads like Thessalonians. And so the Corinthians, with whom Paul has been fighting and in whom he has been disappointed so many times and so profoundly, Paul is reminding them about how gifted they are and how much God is with them. And so that reminder is there too. For all of the inadequacies, for all the older and wiser I get, the less full of myself I become, the more the scripture reminds me that even in that I am yet blessed. That God is with me, God is with you, God is with us. And sometimes it's just that we've lost our focus. We've fallen off of the both and-ness of this in-between time. That we are both sinners and we are redeemed. The day of the Lord has come and the day of the Lord is still coming. And when we are in that dark place where we cannot see what God is doing, when the face of the Lord seems hidden, and when that day of the Lord seems so far off as to be irrelevant, then the message today is, take heart, have comfort. God is with us even now, if only we have the eyes to see it. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.